Last week, President Trump stood in the House of Representatives and gave his second State of the Union address. And over the last few weeks, we've heard State of the State and State of the City addresses from leaders around the country. But you might not know about another national address that takes place every year, the State of Indian Nations. Last night, National Congress of American Indians President Jefferson Keel gave the address, which was followed by New Mexico Congresswoman Deborah Halland. For more on this, our co-host Lauren Gilger sat down with journalist Deborah Kroll, who covers Native American issues.
Tell us a little bit about what this is and how significant it is.
Well, every year, the president of the National Congress of American Indians, which is the umbrella organization that many tribes belong to, that advocate for issues on the federal government level, has what they call the State of Indian Nations Address. This is the kickoff for what they call Washington Week. Hmm. There will be tribal leaders from all over the U.S. who are in Washington this week to coordinate their efforts, which bills they want to push, which Congress people they think are going to be the most likely to carry their water for them, to discuss a lot of other big ticket items going on in Washington.
Okay. So what stood out to you in this speech last night?
I think the biggest thing is that the shutdown has definitely continued to have an impact on Indian tribes. There will be tribes who will take years to recover from the shutdown, who don't have the resource cushions to be able to deal with these extended periods that so many people aren't working. The difference in Indian country is that a lot of the employment is what we call the W-2 economy. Mm-hmm. Bureau of Indian Affairs, Indian Health Service, Bureau of Reclamation, Forest Service, National Park Service.
It's also tied to federal affairs.
Exactly. And then we have a lot of contract employees who are tribal members who contract with these different agencies. And they are not only waiting to get their return pay, they are totally out of any pay. So that has an impact on tribal community economies as well.
Yeah. What would happen if this happens again on Friday?
If this happens again on Friday, it would be a disaster for some tribes. I did a story for Indian Country Today, which is a national Native news outlet, and there were little tribes who had to shut down completely. Hmm. And I'm still not sure if most of those people are back to work yet. So you would see a ripple effect of seniors not being able to get to the doctor, not being able to get to the grocery store. Indian Health Service would go back to basically what they call life and limb. If you're going to lose your life or lose your limb, we're going to let you in. Anything that's elective will have to wait, which means that more people will be sicker longer, and then the backlog will be even worse. And then there are some tribes who are having a growing private economy. Hmm. And without this influx of what we call the W-2 economy, the federal dollars that pay the employees, you're going to have grocery stores closing, you're going to have gas stations closing, which has another ripple effect because those people will be out of work. There are college students who are still waiting to be able to pay their tuition because their tribes have some education money put aside for them. They're not going to be able to pay their tuition. Their parents aren't who work in government or private and industry jobs are not able to pay their kids' tuition through college. They're going to be backed up trying to graduate. It would be a disaster.
Yeah. So let's pivot a little and talk about another issue addressed last night, which was climate change and the environmental issues that we've seen so many tribes grapple with over the last several years. Give us a little outline of what Keel said here.
Well, he did touch upon climate change, that a lot of the very first effects of a warming world, which is water shortages, bigger wildfires, sea level change, are felt in tribal communities. A lot of this is because we as Indian people live a lot closer to the land, and we live in relationship with our land, and what happens to the land affects us.
Yeah.
And then, of course, if you live in a coastal community, there are several tribal communities that are now faced with the very real possibility they're going to have to move, which means they're going to be moving from places they've inhabited for thousands of years. Hmm. There will be cultural sites that are going to be drowned. There's going to be a loss of cultural connectivity. that could be very, very bad for tribes that are trying to rebuild their culture and trying to rebuild back from 500 years of the upheavals that the federal government colonizing tribes has wrought.
I also want to hit on this point that Keel made that is a positive one about the growing number of Native Americans you're seeing elected into local and state offices, but also into the federal government this year.
Well, absolutely. If you're not sitting at the table, you're not going to have a voice. And so it's really encouraging that there are Native people that enough other people saw were going to represent not only their tribal communities, but represent their interests. So progress is possible.
I want to also talk about what Representative Deborah Holland of New Mexico spoke about, right? She spoke after Keel and gave a more congressional perspective. And one of the things that she said that I thought was really interesting was she asked the leaders there to look at the systems that have kept Native American women out of leadership positions. Tell us about that.
You have to go back before Europeans showed up. Women once held positions of leadership within many tribal communities. Hmm. There is still some traditional leadership that has survived all the upheavals and all the attempts to wipe that slate clean. So what Native women are doing now is they're reclaiming those positions of leadership. Because when you have both genders playing leadership roles, it contributes to more stable communities, to stronger families, to much, much less domestic violence and abuse of women. Because as we all know, Native women are subjected to 10 times the amount of sexual violence and murder rates as their non-Indian counterparts. Restoring those traditional female leadership roles will eventually also even a lot of that out.
All right. Deborah Kroll is an independent journalist who specializes in Native American issues. Deborah, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Well, thanks for having me.